My wife Emmy and I have been parents now for almost 2 years. I realize to a lot of you that that seems like nothing, right? Our daughter Kana will have her second birthday in July. And the last 2 years, I have learned a lot of new things, let's say, right? I mean, there were some things I knew, right? I wasn't a parent, but I wasn't an idiot. I was, but not about everything, right? I knew a lot of things, but I have learned a large amount of ridiculous things I did not know that I was going to know by being a parent. For example, I knew that babies cry, right? I'm not dumb. Everybody knows that. I was expecting that. What I didn't expect was what she would cry. Let me explain what I mean. It started about 6 months ago while Kana and I were playing in the living room. I was trying to get her because she's learning the words. She's at the stage where she's repeating everything we say. So I'm trying to get her to say, "Daddy's girl," right? I'm trying to get, you know, if I can get a, you know, an edge on mama, then maybe she'll say that, you know, right? But she got tongue-tied while she was saying it. Instead of saying daddy, she said Debbie. Debbie, right. No. Hush it, Debbie. Instead, she said Debbie. And I kind of reacted and I laughed with her. Well, then that's all it took. From then on, that girl says Debbie like, I mean, all of the time. Basically, it's become a byword in our house. No offense to any of the rest of you ladies whose names are Debbie today. So, lately, Kana has got into a habit of crying when we lay her down for bed, right? It's not like, you know, really crying, but it's like I'm tired, but I'm not at the point where I want to go to sleep yet. It's not like upset crying. It's that, you know, wailing, right? It's that I'm going to holler and see if anybody hears me kind of a thing. Again, I wasn't too surprised by that. I knew that's what kids did. But what she started to do surprised me a little bit. As she's gotten older and as her words, she learns more and more words, her crying has, let's say, evolved. A few weeks ago, we laid Kana down in bed. And we listened to her on the monitor, and we hoped that she would fall asleep soon, but she didn't. Instead, she started her kind of, you know, vocalizing her displeasure with being laid down, right? She starts kind of hollering out. Well, first, she cries for Minnie Mouse, right? She thought, you know, that's the first thing she said. 5 or 6 times, she's crying out for Minnie Mouse. When that didn't work, she started yelling, "Mama, Daddy, Mama, Daddy, Mama, Daddy, Mama, Daddy." 2 or 3 minutes of that. But eventually she realized, no, Mom and Dad aren't coming. You see, we realize that as long as she's not in distress crying, if she's just doing this hollering out, you know, if we let her go for a while, she's going to go to sleep. She doesn't need us. You know, it's one of those you got to let go, Mom and Dad kind of things, right? What she did next, just about, it surprised us both. Then it started. We looked at each other as if, did you hear that? And then we both listened carefully to the monitor, but it was soon clear what she was saying. She was crying, "Oh, Debbie. Oh, Debbie. Oh, Debbie." And I promise you, she did this for 10 minutes.
Just give me a call.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Debbie. I'm telling you, if Mom and Dad weren't going to come, then maybe Debbie will come in and rescue her. 10 minutes. Today, we're going to look at Psalm chapter 77. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there today. It's written by a man named Asaph. And in this psalm, Asaph cries out to God. That's what we're going to talk about today is crying out, just like a child does for mom and dad, just trying to get somebody to come and come to your rescue. That's what we find in Psalm chapter 77. We find out in 1 Chronicles chapter 6 that Asaph was a Levite. And he was one of the men that King David chose to lead music in the tabernacle after David brought the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, back into Jerusalem. So we know from Scripture that Asaph and his sons were singers and musicians. They wrote most of what we call Book 3 of the Psalms, basically chapters 73 through 83 of the book of Psalms were recorded as Psalms of Asaph. You see, when we think about the book of Psalms, oftentimes we think about this song book, right? They're songs that were written to God, and usually we think of it as this old hymnal of this uplifting and encouraging stuff, kind of like maybe the worship music that we might sing in church today. And sometimes that's what we find in the book of Psalms. Sometimes that's what we find. But sometimes what we find in Psalms are more like very honest and open conversations with God. Songs about sin and pain and despair. In fact, most of these Psalms of Asaph in these chapters 73 through 83 deal with the problems that we face in life. As we're trying to follow God, as we're trying to do what's right, read these chapters and you'll find a lot of the, here's what I keep facing. Here's the stuff that I just keep running into. That's what we'll find today in chapter 77. In Psalm 77, where we'll spend the rest of our time today, it's what I would call a psalm of lament. Lament is basically an expression of grief. To lament is to cry out to God. Dr. Larry Crabb puts it this way. To lament is basically to say to God, let me tell you where I am right now. See, lament is not necessarily a prayer as we would think of it. Lament is not just, you know, a song of worship. A lament is a very real and honest and open communication with God based on the pain that we're experiencing. It's a crying out to God. Laments are found all through Scripture. In fact, some would say that Jesus in the Mount of Olives, when he cried out to God, that's a New Testament lament. That's one of those passages where he's crying out to him. One Old Testament book, we call it Lamentations, right? That's what it is. It's all about crying out to God. In it, we find Jeremiah, who's known as the weeping prophet, lamenting the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And in Psalm 77, where we're going to look this morning, we find Asaph, David's chief musician, lamenting. He's crying out to God. Let's look at it this morning in Psalm chapter 77. Let's read verses 1 through 9 as we start today. Asaph says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, but I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he, in anger, withheld his compassion? You see, this is not a feel-good psalm, right? This is one of those psalms that we probably don't read too often, or we probably don't preach from too often because it's difficult. There's clearly a lot of pain in what Asaph is writing here. In fact, look at the first three verses again. Look at this time, look at them in the New Living Translation, because I think this kind of really amplifies what he's saying here. Look at the way it puts it in verses 1-3. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. I'm going to turn your attention to some of the blanks on the, fill in the blanks on the back of the bulletin. Here's where we'll start today. This is the idea of Psalm 77 that I want to get across as we start. Sometimes the Lord feels far off. Sometimes the Lord feels far off. He feels far away. This is what I'm hearing in Psalm chapter 77. And honestly, I don't think it's something that I really have to teach you about. I think most of us probably have been there and done that. I think most of us probably know those moments where it feels like our prayers just aren't getting through. Where it feels like whoever's up there just isn't listening, right? Where it feels like we've strived and we've toiled and we've done everything that we're supposed to do and everything that we think, it just, something's not right. Is God not there? Is God not listening? Does God not care? And so in those moments, we feel this distance that has grown. We feel as if God isn't where he used to be. He's not as close as he used to be. That's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Sometimes the Lord feels far off. Sometimes we know why that is. To begin with, sometimes he feels far off because of our sin. Right? Sometimes it's our fault. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. This is at the beginning of, before Samuel, when he's just a boy. Look at what it says. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Look at what it says about Israel in those days. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. You see, this was God's people. This Israel was the people of God, and yet we're entering into a period of time where Samuel is about to minister and Israel's not hearing from God. Well, when you read what happens as the book of Judges closes and as the book of 1 Samuel begins, you start to realize that the reason for that distance between God and Israel is because Israel had turned their back on God. Israel had taken and seen and heard God's faithfulness and heard his commands, and yet, as they went in to possess the land that he had given them, they turned their backs on him, and they started instead worshiping false gods. They started worshiping idols. So we get this moment where 1 Samuel starts, right before Samuel begins to minister as a priest of Israel. Eli is the priest, and guess what's happening? Very little. They're not hearing from God. They're not seeing visions of God. The word of God was rare. And yet, what they didn't realize was, in this case, it was their fault. What sense does it make if the people of Israel have turned their backs on God? Well, of course he's going to seem far away. If it's our fault and this is an issue of sin, then yeah, of course God's going to seem like he's not as close as he was before. Maybe it's as simple as that today. Maybe God feels distant because you've not given God the attention that he deserves. Maybe it's because you've turned your back away in sin. Maybe it's because you just haven't pursued him like you once did. It's kind of like that old couple right in the bed of the truck. They're riding down the road in his old pickup truck that they had when they were just dating, right? And the wife looks over and says, you know, sweetheart, we just... We used to sit just right beside each other in the cab of this truck, and we used to just sit right. I mean, it was like we were in the same spot, and now I'm over here by the door, and you're over there by the steering wheel. What happened? And finally, the man just kind of looks at where he's driving, and he said, I'm in the same spot I've always been. I'm not the one that moved, right? You see, God's always where he is, and yet sometimes we look and we say, why does he feel so far away? Sometimes it's because we've moved ourselves away from him. Sometimes it's because we've turned away from God. If that's the case, I think we understand what needs to be done. I think we understand what repentance means, right? That is the opposite. That is turning our path back into path with him. If we're on our direction, if we're pointed toward him, we'll draw closer and closer to him. But what if it's not because of our sin? What if we're facing this moment of emptiness, this moment of God feels so far away, and it's not because of something we've done? Maybe it's because of our circumstances. Look at what Job 30 verse 20 says. This is another one of those lament kind of verses, right? He says, I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer. But you do not answer. I stand up and you merely look at me. Now, in Job's case, Job feels that God is far away. The book of Job tells us that it's not because Job was a sinner. In fact, the book of Job tells us that despite all the things he faced, Job did not sin against God, and he continued to be faithful. The whole reason that Job faces what he faces is because God knew him to be a righteous and blameless and upright man. And yet Job says, I keep asking, I keep seeking you, and all you're doing is just standing there looking at me. If a man who's righteous and blameless and upright in the sight of God can feel like this, then so can you and I. It may not just be because of sin. In a lot of cases, it's because of our circumstances. And I don't know what you've been through. Some of you I do. Some of you I do. I've talked to, and I know your lives, and I know that some of you are going through some stuff. Stuff that you never signed up for. Circumstances that you didn't ever think were going to be part of your story. I get it. I don't know where everybody is this morning. Maybe that's not you right now. Maybe that was you in your past. Maybe that's you in your future. But I do know this, and we need to understand this as we talk about this today. It's the next line in your bulletin. Just because God feels far off, it doesn't mean that he's absent. Just because God feels like he's far away does not mean that he is absent. It does not mean that he's not there. In fact, look at what Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says about God. It says, the Lord is close, Psalms 34, 18. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. See, it does not always feel like that, especially when this is an issue of circumstances, of things that we never signed up for, of loss that we never thought we would experience. We have such a hard time seeing through the storm of our pain, but it does not mean that God has moved. It does not mean that God's not there. It simply means that it's harder in those times for us to feel his presence. It simply means that we may have to try a little bit harder to seek God. Because guess what those experiences are doing? Guess what those circumstances are doing? They're taking the focus. They're taking our attention in ways that God ought to take it, right? It's natural. It happens that your eyes are going to be on the storm that you're facing. But just because God feels far away, that doesn't mean he left. it doesn't mean he's absent. In fact, Psalms tells us that the Lord is close to those who are hurting. See, this is the next point in your bulletin today. Our deepest questions come from times of pain. You see, it's not in those times where everything's going good that you have a hundred questions of God, right? When everything seems to be going well, when everything is just like you thought it would be, then no, there's no, God, where are you? There's no, how could you let this happen? It's when things fall apart. It's when things are not what we thought they would be. It's when things, as we planned them, crumble, or experiences or hardships that we never thought we would face come our way. Look at what he says in Psalms chapter 77, verses 1 through 2. He says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. Verse 4 says, you kept my eyes from closing. He's talking about not sleeping, right? He's not getting any rest in this turmoil that he's facing. I was too troubled to speak. You can hear the pain coming off of this page as Asaph writes this song to God. When we talk about times of pain, you see, I don't know what Asaph is facing. He's never specific with what it is that has come his way that has caused him to feel like God's not listening to him anymore. When we talk about times of pain, it's most likely that you and I are not imagining the same sorts of situations. Because we all face painful times in our lives. Times that hurt. Times we wish we didn't have to go through. Things that we wish were not part of our story. Maybe it's a time of sickness. Maybe it's a time where you prayed for healing and healing didn't come. Maybe it's tests that you're in the middle of waiting for tests right now and they have no idea what's going on. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. The loss of a spouse. Of your mom or dad. Of a child. Maybe it's a miscarriage. Maybe it's the unemployment. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's a car accident. Maybe it's abuse. Maybe it's a situation in your marriage that you never thought that you would have to face. It doesn't seem as if you've done anything to cause this circumstance, and you really don't know why you're facing such a difficulty. Today I want us to look at a couple things that happen, a couple reactions that we have when we face these times of pain. They're pretty common, no matter what it is that we're facing. Number one, times of pain can cause us to turn to God. Times of pain can cause us to turn to God. It's one of the silver linings on this cloud, right? It's one of the good things that can come from trials is that we've had our attention focused on us for so long because things have been good that all of a sudden we hit rock bottom and the only place that we can look is up, right? You can't fix this situation. I don't know how to just make bad things not happen anymore. And so all of a sudden we turn our attention back to God where it should have been all along. No, I don't desire to face trials. I'm 35 years old and I've already faced stuff that I'd never have to see. And yet, I know that God can use those moments to turn my attention to Him. I know that in those moments of pain is when I am least reliant on myself. And I am most cognizant of the fact that He is the only one in control. Times of pain cause us to turn to God. Look at what he says in verse 3. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. Sometimes pain is exactly what it takes to get our focus and attention back on God. It causes us to turn to God. It causes us to cry out to God, just like a child, just like a baby crying in the night. They may not know what's going on. They may not know why they're upset, and yet they know if they scream long enough, eventually somebody's going to hear them. And the same is true with our circumstances. It causes us to turn to God. Look at number two. Times of pain cause us to question God. Now, this is different. Sometimes our times of pain can cause us to turn and to ask questions of God. Yes, it pulls our attention back to Him where it should have been all along. But what about when it causes us to question God? Look at what the questions that Asaph asks in verses 6 through 9. He says, I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Now, some of us are a little uncomfortable right now, right? Because we grew up saying God's in control and ours is not to question him, right? Okay, so what about these questions that come in our head? What about these questions that rise? When terrible things happen, it's natural for us to say, why would God allow this to happen? Is that wrong? Is that wrong for you to ask questions of God in your grief? Because you know what? A lot of people in church that talk with me during these times, they feel guilty about it. We just had a 13-week from February to April, we did something called Grief Share. I led a group on Tuesday nights for those that have lost a loved one. And you know what I hear a lot when we're talking about this issue of asking God, of questioning God? I hear a whole lot of Christians that think they're supposed to repent and be sorry for asking God questions. You'll hear something like this in class where they say, you know what? I had no idea why God could do this to me. In fact, that's what I prayed. Why would you even let this happen to me? And then they'll look at me and say, and I know that's wrong. I know I'm not supposed to do that. So as a Christian, is it a sin for me to ask why God would allow this to happen? Is it a sin for me in my humanness to wonder why I would have to face this? For you to wonder why your loved one had to struggle like they did? Is it sinful to ask questions of God? Well, let me answer it by saying this. It happens a whole lot in Scripture. There are a lot of times in Scripture where people do this exact thing. They turn to God and they question God. They ask questions of God, just as Asaph does in chapter 77. In fact, it happens a whole lot in the book of Psalms that we're reading today. There are hundreds of moments in Psalms, just like this one, where the singer, the writer, asks God, why? Here's the line. Let me give you one piece of advice. Whether you're facing this now or you have and you feel guilty about it or it's coming, let me just give you this advice. It's okay to ask questions of God. But does it lead us to question God? Now, I know that sounds like the same thing, right? Let me say it again. It's okay to ask questions of God, but does it lead us to question God? What I mean is, asking God why is a natural part of facing these things. Wanting to know why these things would happen is part of the process. However, and this is really what we're going to talk about next Sunday, Today is questions. Next Sunday, we're going to look at answers. However, when these questions cause us to put God on trial, when these questions cause us to confront God as in a way that if he doesn't give us the answers that we think we want and need, then we're not going to be faithful anymore, then that's causing us to question God in a way that is not ours to do. Let me tell you this. No matter your circumstance, no matter how hard it hurts, no matter how uncertain it seems, that doesn't change the fact that you and I are not in control. It doesn't change the fact that God is still on his throne. And you and I, while questioning God and asking questions of him is okay, it's not our place to put God on trial for the things that we don't understand. God is still on his throne. God is still sovereign above the kingdoms of man. And God did not change just because your circumstance did. I understand it hurts, but that doesn't change who God is. So let's finish today then with seeing how Asaph finish chapter 77 of Psalms. Let's read verses 10 through 20. Then I thought, to this will I appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. You, with your mighty arm, redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So what do we do when we come to times of pain or doubt in our lives? Times that turn our hearts to God. Times when we cannot find the answers, times when we question God, even times when answers can't be found because God just feels too far away. What does Asaph do? Here's your next line in your notes. We must remember. We must remember. How do I handle a situation where everything is question marks? Where I don't know how this is going to turn out. Where I don't know where this story is going to end. We must remember. Number one, we must remember who God is. Look at what he says in Psalm 77, 13 and 14. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display power among your people. Psalms 34, 18 says that God is close to the brokenhearted. We read that earlier. And yet in those moments, it feels like God is far away. It feels like, why would God do this to me? Many times people turn away from their faith because they just can't reconcile a God who is loving and benevolent and would allow these sorts of things to happen to his people. You've seen it. People that turned away from God because bad things happened, things that they couldn't handle, things that they couldn't imagine God letting happen in their lives. And yet, let me say it again, because I know some of you have been through some stuff. I know some of you are in the middle of a storm right now. I know some of you, it was all you could do to get to church today. But I know this, my circumstance does not change the fact that God is faithful. It has not changed the fact that God is still good. The pain that I experience, the loss that I face, does not change who God is. And church, that's why he's worth worshiping all the more. Because God does not change with our circumstances. God is and always will be faithful and good and in charge of our lives. Does that mean I'm always going to understand it? No, it doesn't. That's why I've got to remember who God is. Number two, we must remember what God has done. If it's hard right now to see past the storm in your life, then I challenge you to look back to a moment where God has delivered you in the past. Look at what he says, Psalms 77, verses 10 through 12. Then I thought, to this will I appeal. If I'm in a hole and I don't know where to turn, well, here's where I'm going to go. To the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember his miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Verses 16 through 20 get specific. Look at what he says. The waters saw you. God, the waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. What's he talking about there? He's talking about Moses. He's talking about the Red Sea. Through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The Old Testament does this a lot, where all of a sudden when something happens that they're going through, whoever's talking or speaking or writing, whether it's Moses or David or whoever, will go back hundreds of years and recount the things that God did for their ancestors. As if to remember what God has done. I don't remember what the situation was when I was growing up, but I remember some words of wisdom that my dad gave me that I cannot shake out of my head. I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and honestly, I do not remember what the trial was that we were facing. I do not remember what the circumstance was, but I knew things were tight for my family. I knew that things were in some way worse than I had seen them, and I could tell as much as they might have put on, I could tell my mom and dad were struggling. And so here I am, 12, 13 years old maybe, and I talked to dad and I asked dad, how do you know that we can trust God in these moments? How do you know it's going to be okay? And I remember my dad saying something along these lines. Well, all the time that we've been a family, God's never done anything that's made me think that he's not going to carry us through this time. You see, in the middle of that storm, I know it's hard to see what the outcome's going to be. It's hard to know what's going to happen. And yet, if we look backwards, if we look at and remember the things that God has done, then we can realize, you know what? He's never failed me yet. He's never let me down. It's just hard to see in that moment. Despite those things we faced, he's still God. He's still in control. He's still faithful. It just hurts right now. And it's hard to see right now. But guess what? That doesn't change God's faithfulness. It makes it all the sweeter when we face those moments. When we finally get out of that storm and have enough space and enough clarity to realize, God, you did it again. You sustained me again. Church, I know it's hard. Next week, we're going to look at the harder question of what happens when we don't get the answers from God that we want. Is God still God, even if our questions aren't answered? But today, let me encourage you as we close. as Chad and the band come out, let me just challenge you here, because I know there are a lot of people that are in a lot of different places. I know that maybe you're not facing a trial right now. Maybe you are, and maybe you're in one of those moments. Maybe you're in one of those pits where you don't know where the answers are going to come. Where every prayer that you offer up, it feels like God's not on the other end, that God's not listening. Where you don't know where the next step is, what the next step is going to be, or where the next answer is going to come from. If that's you today, let me encourage you. Just because God feels far off doesn't mean that God is not there. If today you're in that spot and you're far away from God because of your own turning away, then church, today what he desires for you to do is he desires to pull you back to him. He desires for you to turn your life, your eyes, your focus, your attention back around to him. To realize that he never left. That he's still gone. That he still loves you as he always did. If today you're in the middle of a pit, if today you're in the middle of something you never signed up for, we can hold on to the faithfulness of God. We can hold on because, not because I'm strong, but because God is good. Today, maybe he desires for you to know that he hasn't left, that he's still there. Our God has never let us down. Our God is good. And today, if that's your story, then today we remember. Today we remember as we stand and as we sing.